Christmas is a time for traditions. We all have them, family traditions, personal traditions, things we do in a certain way because we did it that way last year, and we did it the year before like that, and probably the year before that too. We have Christmas trees at home and the church, and we decorate them the same way. Certain things we put on shelves and tables, probably in the same places we placed them last year, and on the same tables and shelves. Now, once in a while, something new will come along, perhaps a new decoration or a new way of doing things, and eventually kind of works its way into the mix, and it becomes a new tradition. Now, there's nothing wrong with having Christmas traditions. They can be comforting, they can fill us with delight, they help us to celebrate the birth of Jesus every year. The people of Israel had traditions too. Many of them were not simply invented or developed over time, but rather they were given them by God. One of these traditions, one of the most important, is called Passover. The first Passover took place centuries before Jesus lived, when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. In one final mighty act of deliverance, God led the Israelites out of slavery into freedom. To demonstrate his mighty power and force the Egyptians to release their Israelite slaves, God was going to kill all the firstborn of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of all the cattle of Egypt. The people of Israel were to celebrate their deliverance on that night, and to do so by killing and roasting and feasting on a lamb. Each household was to take the blood of their lamb and paint it on the lintels, that horizontal piece above the door, or on door posts in the home. And so whenever God saw that blood marking the door, he would pass over and spare the firstborn of that home. So on that night, the firstborn of Egypt were struck down. And consequently, Pharaoh ordered the Israelites to leave. Scripture says of that first Passover, "It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So this same night is a night of watching, kept the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations." Year after year, the tradition of Passover would preserve the memory of the night the people were set free. When children would ask the meaning of this festival, their families were to reply, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses." Passover was a tradition handed down from generation to generation. It was a remembrance of deliverance, but it was more than just an annual reminder of a great miracle. Passover was a picture of the future, a picture and prophecy of a greater act of deliverance, a greater sacrifice to come. In this act of deliverance, God would not strike down the firstborn of an enemy. In this sacrifice, God's own Son, the firstborn of all creation, would be struck down. When Jesus began his public ministry, John the Baptist announced the arrival of the Savior with these words, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God had come. Just as the Israelites in ancient Egypt were to choose a lamb without blemish, the Lamb of God was the perfect sacrifice, the innocent sacrifice, without blemish or spot. This lamb was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for us, and born in Bethlehem. Jesus, the child of Bethlehem, whose birth we will soon celebrate, is the spotless Lamb of God. He offered up his life on the cross, suffering the penalty that we earned through our sin, through our rebellion against our Creator. Because our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus, the wrath of God against sin passes over us as surely as the Lord long ago passed over the blood-marked doors of the Israelite slaves. On that night, the slaves went out through those blood-painted doors out of Egypt and into freedom. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Lamb of God, we too are redeemed and set free from slavery to sin, death, and the devil. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was born in Bethlehem for this purpose, to take away the sins of the world, to take away our sins. On the cross, he did exactly that. Jesus set us free from sin and death, paying the price that we could never pay. Long before Jesus was born, the psalmist spoke of this impossible situation, the price that could not be paid. No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough, so that they should live on forever and not see decay. But a few verses later in this same psalm comes the answer to this puzzle. "But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself." Psalm 49, verse 15. Only God himself could pay the price. Only God himself could set us free. The blood of the Lamb born in Bethlehem has washed away our sin. The blood of the Lamb now marks us as God's holy, redeemed people. We are called to freedom. But it is not a freedom to follow our own selfish desires. We have been set free for service, to live for others as our Lord lived and died for us. As the Apostle Paul has written, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become servants to one another." We have been led out of slavery into freedom. And now, through Advent, into Christmas, into Easter and until our Lord comes again, we are free to live and serve others in the name of the Lamb who was slain for us.